this morning. It's found in Proverbs 18, and it's the final verse of that proverb, verse 24. In the book of Proverbs, there are 915 verses, and many of those verses are just kind of one-offs. It's this thought, and then you move on in the next verse, and it's about another thought, and so on and so forth. Sometimes you run into big sections that are of the same subject, but rarely. And this is one of those verses that seems like it's just a one-off. But there are many topics covered, many important topics covered in the book of Proverbs, probably, you know, maybe 20 major topics. And within those topics, there might be, 50 proverbs about that topic, but they're scattered throughout all of the 31 chapters. And so sometimes it's hard to, pull a particular thought out of one verse when so many verses scattered throughout Proverbs focus on that topic. I wish someone, some scholarly Old Testament person, would rework Proverbs topically and put all of the verses on one topic in this chapter, all of the verses on another topic in that chapter. And I don't know if God is calling me to do that. I doubt it because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But wouldn't that be nice to have all of those verses together? So our topic this morning, of which Proverbs 18:24 is one of the verses, is on friendship. And so listen to this verse. Friends come and go. Friends come, friends go. But a true friend sticks by you like family. That's the Message translation. You might be familiar with another translation. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And different translations read a little differently, but the whole idea is that friends are valuable to us, loyal, and that is just one piece of the many aspects of friendship that we find in the book of Proverbs. Dog is man's best friend. Maybe you've heard that adage. That's not in the Bible. Some people have said that the world is made up of dog lovers and cat lovers. And some people are dog lovers. How many dog lovers do we have? How many dog people do we have? We have some dog people. Okay, how many cat people do we have this morning? We have some cat people, all right. How many people do we have this morning? People, yeah. How many would rather avoid people altogether? Yeah, maybe one or two of those. Yeah, hopefully you have at least one people in your life, one person in your life that is a dear, dear friend. Maybe you have a best friend. Maybe you have three or four or five best friends. Maybe you have a weird friend amongst your friends. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Yeah. Some people are just strange, crazy, weird. Of course, no mom falls in that category today. On Mother's Day, every mother is wonderful, perfect, and beautiful. But we may have some friends that are a little off. And that's okay. When I was growing up in high school, I had three really good friends. All four of us were very close, and we did a lot of things together. But Gary was just a little stranger than most. But he was a very good friend. We were at a mall one time, went into an ice cream shop, get some ice cream. When we were getting ready to leave, we noticed some empty ice cream buckets, those round ones that hold probably 2 gallons of or whatever of ice cream. They were clean and they were just sitting there on the floor. And Gary said, "What do you do with these empty ice cream buckets?" And they said, "Well, we're just going to toss those." He said, "Could I have one?" And so they said, "Sure." So he took one. When he went out in the mall, he found a marker and he drew a face on the ice cream bucket. Two eyes, a nose, mouth, drew some ears, drew some hair on it. And then he put it on his head. And we walked around with him. He didn't cut any eye holes. He just trusted us to kind of lead him in the right direction. And so we would lead him somewhere. He wanted to go to the mall directory and look at that. And so he would stand there and we would kind of move off about 20, 30 feet away and just kind of observe people looking at him. we found a mirror. He wanted to go buy a mirror, so we found a mirror in the mall, and we kind of moved away, and he stood in front of the mirror. He pulled out his comb and started combing his bucket head, and then the mall cop came by, and so that was the end of the bucket brigade. So some friends we have that are just a little strange, but boy, they're dear to us, and we wouldn't do without them. Whether our friends are weird or not, whether we are a people person or not, we still need friends in our lives. Now, the Bible says a lot about relationships, parents, children, neighbors, strangers, husbands, wives. But does it say anything about friends? I read a passage in Proverbs. I told you there's some other passages in Proverbs about friends. Actually, in the book of Proverbs alone, there's 40 verses about friendships. In the Bible as a whole, there's over 200 verses about friendships. And so, yes, the Bible has something to say. The Word of God has something to say to us about the value of friendships. There's several examples, famous examples in the Bible of friends. Think off the top of your head of Jonathan and David. Think about Ruth and Naomi. Think about Job and his four friends. Daniel and his three friends in the fiery furnace. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, here's a proverb verse about friendship, that righteous persons, in other words, those who are right with God, choose their friends carefully. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we exercise a holy discernment about friendships, either building new ones or establishing the current ones? Generally, friendships are good things, but they can go bad. And what do we do when that happens? I mean, even Jesus had 12 really close friends. We call them the disciples, the 12 disciples. But one of them turned him in to the authorities. One of them betrayed him. And he, because of that betrayal, he was arrested. Because of that arrest, he was crucified. Judas, of course, is who I'm talking to. Another one of those 12 denied him. When that whole process of his arrest was going on, the Apostle Peter was asked, aren't you one of them? And Peter said, no, I'm not one of them. Don't you know that guy, Jesus? He said, no, I don't know him. You remember that story? Peter denied Jesus. So even amongst the 12 closest friends that Jesus had, there was some unfriendly behavior. And so the trick in relationships is to get our head and our heart kind of working in the same direction. Sometimes our heart is so wrapped up around a person that we have a hard time paying attention to our head warning us about him or her. Or the other way around. Sometimes our head is so leery of trusting people that we won't let our emotions allow us to enjoy a relationship in full with those around us. So our head and our heart working together on the same page is what Proverbs offers us when it talks about friendships. And what do we call that? What do we call when our head and our heart work together to help us think right and act right? We call that wisdom. Yeah, that's what the book of Proverbs is. It's a book of wisdom on a lot of different topics. And fortunately for us, friendship is one of those topics, and that's what we're looking at today. So when it comes to friendship, wisdom works in two ways. It helps to shape healthy relationships, and it helps us to be aware of, leery of, maybe filter out poor relationships in our life. And there's all kinds of wisdom in the book of Proverbs about friendship. Here's some examples. Proverbs 27, verse 9. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Proverbs 22, 24. Don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Proverbs 27, 10. Better a nearby friend than a distant family. And of course, the verse we had in our scripture reading a few minutes ago, Proverbs 18:24, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like a family. Sometimes in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, the words there that we commonly translate friendship can also mean a companion, an associate, or an association. Doesn't always have to do with necessarily building a relationship with a person. For instance, James chapter 4, verse 4, don't be friends with the world. In other words, don't fall into the trap of doing things just because everybody else is doing them, especially if they're not kosher, if they're not right, if they're the wrong thing to do. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Today, on Mother's Day, we're looking into the wisdom of growing healthy friendships, person-to-person relationships. We're going to start with a definition. Friendships are defined by a lot of things, but the definition of friendship is like the definition of love, the definition of things in this life that are really significant in meaning and yet hard to kind of just pin down. I'll bet if you opened your dictionary and you looked up the word friend, you'd have a picture of somebody in mind that would fill that definition. And so that's kind of what Proverbs does. It gives us a picture of what healthy friendships look like, what dangerous friendships are about, and that's, we're going to look at that a little bit. So let's start with the definition. Charles Dickens, 19th century English author, said this: there's nothing better than a friend, unless it's a friend with chocolate. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh said this to Piglet: if you live to be 100, this is Winnie the Pooh talking to Piglet, if you live to be 100, I want to be 100 minus one day, because I don't want to live without you. C.S. Lewis, in his sermon, The Four Loves, said, friendship is unnecessary. Okay, hang with me, you know C.S. Lewis. Friendship is unnecessary. It's like philosophy. It's like art. It has no survival value. Okay? But it's one of those things which gives value to survival. How good is that? When I was a teenager, I realized how valuable my relationship was with those three other good buddies of mine. And somewhere in my late teens, I wrote this down. I wrote this down on a piece of paper. There is nothing more important to my sanity and my love of life than the friends that I have. And I folded that piece of paper up and I stuck it in my wallet and I carried it with me for years and years and years. So through all of those thoughts, we can build a little picture of friendship and its value. Now turning to Proverbs, let's kind of fill out what the scripture says about friendship. First of all, there's the delight of friendship. Okay, so we just have the definition. Now there's this joy that friendship brings, the delight of friendship. And a lot has to do with love. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. I mean, we're created for love. God designed us to be like him. He created us in his image. And the Bible says God is love. And so love is at the core of our being. The thing our soul hungers for most is to be loved and to love others. And so Proverbs says friendships are about that. They're about love. We begin life born into a family surrounded by the love of mother and father. We grow up, we leave home, we leave family, we leave that love behind, but we still need people in our life to love us. That's what friends are for. Another aspect of the delight of friendship is loyalty. Proverbs 26. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? Rhetorical question. I mean, they're hard to find, but they're out there. Part of a love is sticking with people through thick and thin. Remember the marriage vows that a husband and a wife take to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. This is my solemn vow. That's about sticking with each other. That's what friends do. Another aspect of the delight of friendship is honesty. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That idea that we need each other to help us grow, to keep our edge in life. At the same time, we need people to be honest with each other, with us. We also need their support, their encouragement, and that honesty is valuable. Friends speak truth in our life. We've given them permission to do that. And sometimes that truth is encouraging, but sometimes it's challenging. Jesus talks about holding each other accountable in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. If you see a problem in your friend's life, point it out to him. But also be ready to have your own problems pointed out to you. It's just early May, and I think I've cut my grass 10 times already. One of the important things about cutting the grass is keeping your mower blade sharp. If you don't keep it sharp, then it just kind of rips the top of the grass off, and then after a day or two, the ends of the grass, the top ends of the grass get all frayed, and that doesn't look quite as good as if you had a nice sharp blade cutting right through that. So every year, I sharpen my lawnmower blade, and I have an amazing tool that does that. It's my grandfather's old grinder. And this thing is just amazing. It's got a switch you turn on, it gets up to speed really quickly. And then when you turn it off, it takes about 5 minutes to wind down. It's one of those old ones, this beautiful, beautiful piece of machinery. And I love using it. And it's got a grinding stone on it. And I turn my lawnmower over, I take off the blade, and I turn that grinder on, and I just kind of grind that lawnmower blade edge, two ends of it, so it's nice and sharp. I do that every year. But you know what happens when you put that steel blade to the grinder? All kinds of sparks start flying everywhere. And you just know that means it's working. It's grinding off the old, rusty, dull part of the lawnmower blade, and it's making it nice and sharp. If there weren't any sparks flying, then the grinder wouldn't be making the contact that it needed to make with the steel blade. And that's what this verse in Proverbs 27 is about. As iron sharpens iron, you know, one person sharpens another. We need the grinder of friendship in our life. And sometimes sparks may fly. My guess, I haven't read any research on this, but even in the best of relationships, probably in the best relationships, every once in a while sparks fly. But for the good of each other. Help us stay sharp, on point, on track in our life. Love, loyalty, honesty, and then the final delight is friendship is a little taste of heaven. Proverbs 22:11. If you love grace and truth, even the king will be your friend. And what that verse means is that relationships that are honest, relationships that are open, relationships that are true, full of love and grace, are like having friends in high places. Friendships like that bless us, enrich our lives. Good friends give us a peek into heaven. Some friendships even lead to a connection to heaven. That's what happened to me. One of those three good friends of mine, his name was Craig. He wasn't crazy like Gary. he was a strong young person in the faith early on in his life. And he was instrumental in praying me into the kingdom of God. And that connection that I had with him made a difference in my eternity. And so there are friends like that that help sometimes even prepare the way for us to be persons of faith. John Wesley would call that prevenient grace, the grace that goes before the grace that changes our life. And so some friends are like that. They are sent by God to precede stuff that God has in mind for our lives. So we've talked about the definition of friendship, the delight of friendship. Then there's the danger of some friendships. For instance, fair-weathered friendships. Proverbs 16:28. A useless person causes trouble, and a gossip ruins friendships. You know, some friends just struggle with knowing how to be good friends. And those you want to be careful of. Maybe you can have some positive influence in their life, and maybe you're the iron that sharpens their iron and points out their correction, but sometimes maybe you just need to be careful about even interacting with persons like that. Same with friends that are bad influences. Proverbs 28:7. Hang out with a loose crowd and embarrass your family. That ties into what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says. Bad company corrupts good character. How many mothers' hearts have been broken because her child associates with friends that take that child down the wrong path? And another danger of friendships is friendships that lead people away from God, similar to the bad influence one. We talked about James 4:4 a minute ago. That verse says, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you don't want to hang around that. You don't want that to rub off on you. I mean, God may be calling you to work into that person's life as a positive influence, as a person of faith, to help guide them into the kingdom. But at the same time, maybe God just wants you to be careful and avoid persons who might lead you the wrong way. Definition of friendship, the delight of friendship, the dangers of friendship. And then finally, there's this divine friendship that the Bible talks about. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. The Lord offers his friendship to the godly. The Lord offers his friendship to you, to me. His friendship is real. Abraham was called the friend of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. Jesus said this to the disciples in John chapter 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants. They called him rabbi. He would call, you know, rabbis often called their students servants. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you my friends. The best friend we can ever have is that divine friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He never stops working. He works with us here and now. He's real. He's our healer. He's our comforter. He's our way maker. He's our miracle worker. He's our promise keeper. He's our light in the darkness. The best friend forever we could ever have is Jesus Christ. God has got a great plan for your life. And it includes things like joy and peace that only God can instill in your heart. It includes forgiveness of sins. It includes an assurance deep in your soul that your place in heaven is secure, that heaven is real. And that you're going to be there, that promise of God. God has that great plan for all of us. That's how much he loves us. The problem is that we can't step into that plan, that we have a problem. That problem keeps us from accepting all that God has for us. that problem puts a wall up between us and God. That wall keeps God's goodness, His grace, all the wonderful blessings that He has, all the great plan that He has for your life, for my life. That wall keeps that from happening. The Bible calls that wall sin, just a little bitty word, S-I-N. But that sin, which is part of our human nature, part of what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell to temptation, that sin keeps us out of God's kingdom. It keeps us from experiencing the amazing grace that God has for us. And left on our own, we are hopeless. Left to try to climb that wall, to break through that wall, to go around that wall, to go over or under the wall, no chance of our own. The good news is right here. God has made a way for that wall to come down. And only God could take that wall down. And that way is Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the world, He came in as fully man, fully God, so He could do what no one else could do, and that is break the wall of sin down. And so when Christ gave His life on the cross for us, that's what was necessary for the wall to come down. That was the sacrifice required for the forgiveness of our sins and the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of Christ, is to allow that wall to be broken down and for an opportunity for a friendship, a relationship to be established between us and God. So that's the good news in a nutshell. God has a plan, wonderful, amazing plan for your life. You have a problem, that wall we call sin, and the only way through that wall, the only way for that wall to come down so we could accept all that God has for us is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has now made a way for that friendship with God to take place. The only thing left is what? When there's a relationship, when you're building a friendship, if just one person in that friendship does all of the talking and all of the encouraging and all of the affirming and all of the, you know, if it's all one way, that's not much of a relationship, is it? And you've probably been in relationships like that where you pour yourself into somebody, but nothing comes back. Well, it's the same with our relationship with God, with our friendship with Him. He's poured Himself out for us in Jesus Christ. Now it's up to us to build that relationship with Him, and that's what faith is about. Our response to the good news is to trust that that's true and to just accept God's plan for our life, to accept the provision that is made for the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. That gets the relationship going. That shows God that on our end, we want to build a friendship with Him. And then we work all our life to keep that relationship fresh, keep it healthy, keep it strong. My prayer for all of us on this Mother's Day is that we thank God for Mom. We thank God for relationships that are strong, true, loving, healthy, a little taste of heaven. That we thank God for His word to us about relationships, about friendships today, and especially about the friendship that we have with Him in Jesus Christ. That's my prayer, that we're grateful for that. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh God, You are full of grace and truth and love. And we thank you today that we know what it means to be a friend of God. We know what it means to accept forgiveness through our Savior Jesus Christ. We know what it means to be embraced by the loving, everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father. We talk a lot today about mothers because it's Mother's Day, and so we should, and we honor them. But the reasons Mom can love us, the reasons we can even love one another, is because you first loved us. And we thank you today for that. Help us to be true, honest, loyal, loving in our relationships with Mom. Help us to be the same with the relationships they have that we have with our friends. And help us to grow our relationship that we have with you. That's our prayer today in Christ's name. Amen.